Could you guys grab your Bibles and stand with me? I'd like to just stand for the reading of the Word this morning together. We hold in our hands the Word of God, the revelation that God has given to us. We're in Psalm 19. This morning we're going to be starting in verse 7, but I'm going to start in verse 1 as we looked at this first six verses last week. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show His handiwork. Day unto day they utter speech, and night unto night they reveal knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing like a strong man to run in its race. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circumference is to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his error? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me, that I should be blameless and be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You may be seated. And Lord, bless your word, we pray. Two revelations is what we've been talking about. We've been looking at Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is a missional psalm. Missions is all over the Bible. Psalm 19 declares to you and I that God reveals Himself in two specific ways to mankind. And we saw last week that God revealed Himself to mankind through revelation. We saw the general revelation last week, verses 1 through 6. We titled it, God's World Speaks. And then we saw in verses 7 and really to the end that God's Word speaks. We saw general revelation and specific revelation. You know, it's so important for us to kind of just grapple with this. This is such a sweet psalm. It's not only my favorite psalm, but it was C.S. Lewis's as well. I shared this quote with you last week. He says this, "I take this to be one of the greatest poems in the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in the world." And truly it is. There's something very special about this psalm. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament show His handiwork. Day and day they utter." Think about it. The heavens are uttering speech. Night and tonight, they're revealing something. They're revealing knowledge. There is no speech. There is no language where their voice is not heard. Their voice has gone to the ends of the earth. God has revealed that He is alive, that He is real, that He is the Creator. Through His creation, He has shown man that He exists. But we saw last week that isn't enough for man then to know God, for man to cry out to God, for man to come and be saved. But it's more than just for man to be saved. But once man has put his faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, that is revealed in the Word of God, that we're to grow, that we're to know, that we're to understand this God. So what God has done for you and me as believers this morning as we gather here, what God has done for you and me is God has manifested Himself, revealed Himself to us through His Word. And so we want to look at that. Verses 7 through 9 reveal to you and I something very special. There are six phrases, there are six statements that he makes. And I want to read them to us. There's six statements. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Statement number one. Statement number two, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Statement number three, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Number four, the commandments of the Lord, or commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. Number five, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And sixthly, the judgment of the Lord are true, judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And if you've got your outline, which you're going to want to use that this morning, you will notice that there is six titles of Scripture, six characteristics of Scripture, and six benefits of Scripture that we see here. Because all of these statements are about Scripture. And we're going to break those down and look at them. Let's just look at the six titles. First off, we will see that the six titles, and we see it there, law, testimony, statutes, commandments, fear, and judgment. Okay, so we see those six titles there. But notice this about the titles. They're all the Lord's. It's the law of the Lord. It's the statutes of the Lord. It's the commandments of the Lord. They're the Lord's. That's very important. What we're dealing with is God's revelation of himself to mankind, and that's what the Word of God is about. And so we see that. Now, not only do we find here that these you know, six titles, but these are all references, and we find them actually throughout another great psalm, another one of my favorites, Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is a psalm that expands upon Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is a psalm that expands on Psalm 1. You see, those are the three main psalms in the Psalter, in the Psalms, that refer to the Word of God. Psalm 1, Psalm 19, and Psalm 119. Very easy to remember. 119 and 119. These words, referring to the Word of God, laws, you know, testimonies, judgments, these words are all found in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. If you ever need to do a little Bible trivia, the longest chapter in the Bible, it has 176 verses, and every one of those verses refer to the Word of God to some degree. It is a beautiful, beautiful psalm. What we have in Psalm 19 is the summary of Psalm 119. And there is so much for us to mine out of this incredible section. Just these three verses here, verses 7 through 9, there's so much. Now, so that's the title of these of the Scriptures. Now we see the characteristics, six characteristics of the Scriptures. You're following in your outline, you might want to fill it in there. And we'll just use the exact word that's used here in the Bible. The six characteristics are perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, and true. So this is what the Scripture is. The Scripture is perfect. It is sure. It is right. It is pure. It is clean. It is true. So we'll break those down. And then we come to the six benefits, the six benefits of the Scriptures, which gets to the application. Like, what does it produce? How does this revelation of God, how does it affect me? How does it apply to me? And we see the words there. The six benefits is converting, making wise, rejoicing the heart, enlightening, enduring forever, righteous altogether. And so we find these six benefits. So what we're going to do in the next 2 weeks, it's going to take us 2 weeks to get through these three verses. And you're going to see why as we get into it. There's just too much. And you know, I oftentimes find myself apologizing for going slow. You know, but then I was thinking of what, you know, C.S. Lewis said. I mean, this is the best psalm, you know, in the psaltery and in the best lyric in all the world. I mean, slow down, relax. It's okay. Throughout the Psalms, we're told to meditate. That's what we want to do this morning. We just want to think through. The word meditate, you know, doesn't mean you have your eyes closed and you're just like humming, you know. To meditate, it means to contemplate. That's really what the word means. It means to think over, to slow down, to think through. So that's what we want to do. And boy, there's so much to slow down and think through. And we're going to look at the title of each of these phrases. We're going to look at the characteristic of them, and we're going to look at the benefits. Let's jump into verse 7. Let's take that first statement. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The title that we find here is for the Word of God, for the Scriptures, is law. The law of the Lord. Now, you know, when I think of the law of the Lord, of course, we think of the Old Covenant. We think of the Mosaic Law. Of course, this word literally is Torah, speaking about the law of Moses. You know, but what is the law of the Lord? The law of the Lord is, if you would, God's manual for living. God's manual for living. It's like, you know, when you buy something, you know, when I get a new car, not that I ever get a brand new car, but when I get a car that's new to me, you know, I will look through sometimes the manual. When I'm going to work on my car, I still try to do that. It's harder on these new cars. Everything's, you know, electrical and, you know, you need computer chips and obviously that doesn't work. But, you know, when any of us go to work on a car, you pull out the manual. I mean, it helps. Now we don't even have manuals. We just Google it, don't we? And then you find those dumb videos online. You know, Greg, he agrees. He's told me, he's like, yeah, they just tell you to do everything wrong. You know, just some guys trying to tell you. I found some help with them. But, you know, we do these things. But, you know, the best thing to do is actually talk. Let's say you have a Toyota, to talk to a Toyota mechanic who works at the Toyota dealership, the people that actually make the car. Listen, God has a manufacturer's manual to your life. It's called the law of the Lord. He made you. He knows exactly what you need. He knows what will fix you when you're broken. He knows what will keep you running well. You know, my son and I are having a debate right now about what kind of gas to put in his car. He's got a Volkswagen, you know, Passat, I think it is, and, you know, it's one of those little station wagons, my little, you know, surfer son Nathaniel, and, you know, it says there you got to put premium gas. I've never put premium in anything. You can pay for the premium, you know, but that's what the manufacturer says to do, and so you probably should listen to him, not listen to dad in this case, like cheapskate. You know, they know how the engine works and how it's built and what it needs to run. God knows what we need. God has given us a manual for our life. Let's step back and think on that for a second. Let's meditate for a minute on that. Let's contemplate that. Maybe we should really pay attention to the Word of God. The Word of God is given to us from God about us, about who He is and about how we work. He made us. He fashioned us. He knows us. He loves us. You're not a car. It's not a mechanical thing. You're a human being whom He dearly cares for. He made you in His own image. In the image of God, you and I were created. Well, what's the characteristic of this song, of this statement? The law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. The word I would translate here would be sufficient. I would title this, the word of God is sufficient for the characteristic. The word of God is sufficient. You know, the word perfect is it's a really strong word. The word literally, could be translated completely sufficient, lacking nothing. You know, if you ever do a word study, I mean, listen, I got lost in the word perfect for hours working it through the the Hebrew and you know the using the different helps and stuff like that. You can spend a lot of time, and you know sometimes it bears a lot of amazing fruit. Other times you come out and go, okay, I guess it just means perfect. That's what this word means. I mean, it means perfect, but it does bring about a different aspect than maybe we would think when we think perfect. When we think perfect, like you could translate without blemish. You know, it has no fault in it. Okay, and that's true. And we could talk about how the Word of God is completely of God without fault. The Word of God is without error. You can rely on the Word of God. You can trust the Word of God. The Word of God's perfect. But wait a second. We've only gone halfway with that Word if we do that. The Word of God is full. That's another translation you can get for perfect. Full, or the word whole, or the word complete. The Word of God is more than without error. The Word of God is everything you need. That's what the word means. The law of the Lord is absolutely without lack. There's nothing lacking in it. There is no area that has been missed. Not only is it perfect, is it without error, but it is completely sufficient, lacking nothing. That's probably the best way that I could translate the word perfect, is completely sufficient, lacking nothing. That's what the Word of God is. Think about this, church. And this fires me up, because the Word of God that I have, that you have, that we're studying every single week, that I've devoted my entire life to properly teaching the Word of God to God's people, is absolutely enough. You don't need anything else. You don't need, my stories. You don't need, my jokes. What we need is the Word of God. And what is the benefit of that Word? Which brings us to that phrase, the benefit of Scripture. What is the benefit? I'll use one word, transformation. Transformation. The word says here, the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is sufficient, converting the soul. Converting the soul. Let me talk about soul for a minute. The word soul here in the Old Testament, of course, in the Old Testament, we have the Hebrew, not the Greek like we're used to in the New Testament. The word soul is used there's over 20 different English words translated in your English Bible from this one word soul. Words like self, desire, passion, appetite, emotion, mind, will, heart, but all the words refer to the inner man. They don't refer to the outward. They're speaking, when it talks about human or person, it's speaking about the inner person. You see, this is what David is saying. David is saying that the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord, is sufficient, lacking nothing for the converting of the person. For the inner person. Again, this is why it's God's manual to our life. This is what you and I need so desperately. I think of what the author of Hebrews declares in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Many of us familiar with the verse about the Word of God there, Hebrews 4, 12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God does what? It cuts to the very core of the intents and the thoughts of the inner man. That's what it's saying. The Word of God is living. The Word of God is powerful. You know, the enemy would do everything he could to get you from believing that the Word of God has the ability and is sufficient for your life and has the power to transform you. Where do I get the phrase transform from the word convert? Well, the word convert can be translated a few ways. It can be translated revive. It could be translated restore. It could be translated refresh. It could translate, you could translate it convert as it is. But I think the strongest in the Hebrew is to transform. The idea of transformation, and the idea is total transformation. Very strong word in the Hebrew. The law of the Lord is sufficient for the total transformation of the person. That's what it's saying. The law of the Lord is enough. The law of the Lord is complete. The law of the Lord is able to fully, completely transform the person. This is what the Word of, like, when the author of Hebrews says that the Word of God is living and powerful, we have no idea of the great power of the Word of God. Now, of course, this could refer to the conversion of a person, going from darkness to light, from the power of Satan, as the New Testament tells us, to the power of God, being transformed in that sense. That's the beginning of that transformation. But wait a second, that's just the beginning. We need to realize, and for most of us this morning, we know what it means to be born again. We know that we have been born again. We are grateful we've been born again. We look at our old life. We look at where we are now. But we are in a process of sanctification. It's a big word we use. Just means that we are continually being conformed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Transformed from the old man, transformed from who we are, from our person, from our soul, into what his person is. And it's the Word of God that has the power to do that. There's really no way for me to communicate the conviction I have within my soul for the church to grab hold of the Word of God, to long for the Word of God, to love the Word of God, to meditate in the Word of God, to know this, you wield in your hand the power to transform your life as you hold your Bible, as you open your Bible, as you read your Bible. You can trust that the Word of God is able to accomplish what God has intended it to. And I speak to you not just from an intellectual point of view, not just from looking up certain words and saying this is what it says, but I'm speaking to you knowing the truth of it. Having it practically transform my life, and constantly. Like, it's not like, oh yeah, I have some crazy testimony. I was once really in darkness and now I'm in light. Listen, I have seen more transformation in my life in the last few years than I've seen in all those put together. And it's the Word of God that does it. And as soon as I leave the Word of God, as soon as I go into my own thoughts, my own ideas, my own ways, or the world's ways, or this person or that, I'm in great danger. And I'm not being transformed. Church, we have everything we need found in Scripture. It's sufficient. I plead with us to recognize the power of the Word of God. This is the self-revelation of God, which brings us to our second statement. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I love this. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The title is testimony. What does the testimony of the Lord mean? The word testimony, we use it. We use the word saying, share your testimony. Share your, about your experience. Tell us the story of your life. Your testimony speaks. That means what who you are, what's gone on with you. It's a revelation of who you are. The testimony of the Lord is God's, think about this, God's divine witness to himself. That's what a testimony is. You know, if we were in maybe a little bit more of a, you know, charismatic kind of church, it'd be like, you know, give the testimony. Give us a testimony, you know, and kind of just call it out, right? Like, this is the testimony of God. Okay, it's not your testimony. It's the law of the Lord is absolutely sufficient, perfect, converting, transforming the soul. The testimony, the witness of the Lord is sure, making wise a simple. What is the witness of the Lord? What is the testimony of the Lord? Well, he says here it's sure. So we come to the characteristic of this second phrase, and I titled it, the Word of God is reliable. The Word of God is reliable. Because the word sure, which is the characteristic of the testimony of God, is to be certain about something. Yeah, we say that. Are you sure about that? You know, someone tells you something. Are you sure? We're saying, are you certain? Is this truth? I love this word. The word refers to, you know, like a frame or a pillar. It's like this. This pillar that's holding up the beams over my head right now is got to be firm. It's got to be sure. It's something that's holding a support. It's a word that you could translate to establish, or something that lasts or reliable. Is that pillar reliable to hold up that beam? Is God's testimony reliable to hold up your life? See, God is saying, I'm going to give you my testimony. And this is the awesome thing about Psalm 19. It's like, okay, the heavens declare the glory of God. God's created the man, he's created the earth. Everything's, you know, he's put into existence. That's great. But wait a second. And then he took another step. And he said, now I'm going to manifest and testify to you of who I am. And he started it way back in the Garden of Eden. And he began to reveal his heart to his creation. Man and woman, those created in his image, begin to manifest himself. And all through the, as you just kind of walk through the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, God's just coming on the scene. He's making himself known. He's revealing himself. He's showing himself. He's testifying of himself. And then, of course, he comes to Jesus, the great testimony of God, the perfect, perfect testimony of God. And he brings us to an awareness of his incredible, incredible love by the act of the cross. This is who he is. He's reliable. His word is reliable. We ought to build our life on his word because it is a sure foundation, because it is a reliable pillar, because it will hold your life together. And this church is where we need conviction and we need faith. We need to have the conviction to know that God indeed is reliable, that God indeed is near, that God indeed is trustworthy. Now, the benefit of this is it says here that he makes wise the simple. And I titled this discernment. Discernment. The benefit of God's reliability through his word of revealing his own self to us is discernment. Why do I say that? Well, it says that he makes wise the simple. The word for simple is a word in the Hebrew, and the very root of it means simply open door. You go, well, that doesn't really help me. Well, think about it with me. The simple person has an open door. It's like the mind of a simple person's, the door's open. You've heard the people say, well, I'm just open-minded. Okay, well, you know, and I'm going to probably get, you know, someone mad or something, and that's not my goal. Okay, my goal is to just teach you the truth of God's word. But you want to shut the door. You don't want to be open-minded to all of the garbage and junk of the world. Okay, there's a difference between being reasonable and discussing things and talking. But listen, I am not open-minded that there is another God besides Yahweh. I am not open-minded that there is another way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. I am not open-minded that there's another revelation of God. Now, I have been convinced of these things. So it's not as like I just go, well, I just believe it because someone told me it. I am convinced. And what convinces me is the Word of God. The Word of God is that which is going to take the simple and make them wise. Okay, the word simple is the same idea as you find in the Proverbs of a fool. Someone who just hears and listens and follows every whim of everything that they hear. Just junk in and just kind of just, oh, I'm just open-minded. We need to be very discerning on what we bring in. And this is what he's saying. The Word of God is sure making wise the simple. Taking someone who's foolish, someone who doesn't understand life, someone who doesn't get truth, someone who is moved by the thoughts and ideas of man, someone who has no firm foundation, and the testimony of the Lord is sure, it's reliable, it's firm, and it will take that person from being somewhat foolish in their thinking, foolish in their living, and it will make them wise. The wisdom of God will be poured into them through the Scriptures. Listen, this is exactly what Psalm 1 started with. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 simply says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." That's openness. I'm open-minded to just anyone's thoughts and counsels, and I just accept it, and I take it in. It isn't an idea of that I don't listen, but it's I just receive it. I just take it. I'm simple-minded. He goes on to say, not standing in the path of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of the scoffer. But here's his delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. What are in your thoughts? Listen, the Word of God tells me that what needs to be in my thoughts, what I need to be contemplating, pondering, meditating on, is the Word of God day and night. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You say, I sure wish I had more discernment in my life. I sure wish I knew where to go. I sure wish I knew what direction to take. I'm telling you right now that the Word of God is the answer. You and I need to be saturated, to be meditating, to be contemplating the Word of God. You will advance in maturity. You will advance in wisdom. Listen, wisdom is something that you will be able to advance in a radical, radical way. For the Hebrews, the word wisdom, so it says making wise the simple, the word wisdom is skilled in living. Skilled in living. That's what they would, it's just someone that's, I get how to navigate through life. Are you skilled in living a righteous, godly life? You will be skilled in living when you and I are those that recognize that His testimony is sure. It will do this. This is what it will benefit you. It will make wise the simple. It will take the simple man and make him wise. I love this in Psalm 119, that other psalm, Psalm 119, verses 97 through 100. Listen to what it says. Oh, how I love your law. That's a good place to start. It is my, there it is, meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, because it makes the simple wise. And he goes on to say in verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I love that. how, I mean, this is what he's saying. He's saying you can rise above your teachers. You can rise above the ancients by being discipled by the Lord through his word. You know, I was a really foolish young man. I was a really foolish young man. I lived a fool's life. I was led and directed by my emotions, my desires, same word for lust. I did what, you know, what pleased me, what felt good. You know, I certainly wasn't a really intelligent person. You know, dyslexic. I mean, just, I was a fool. And God opened my heart to the gospel. And I got saved. But, you know, that doesn't just take all the foolishness out of you. But through the years, I have committed my life to the Word of God. And it has radically transformed the way I think. And because I've hid the Word of God in my heart, God's given me some incredible wisdom, incredible discernment, be able to navigate through some very difficult times in life. Because, and I always say this, I don't understand how pastors, leaders, navigate themselves through this world without the Word of God. And I say that because they do. They do. Pastors, they don't hold to the Word of God. They listen to the whims of what's going on, the modern stuff. Listen, you can call me ancient, you can call me old school, you can call me whatever you want, but hopefully you don't call me a fool. Because we are going to be committed to the Word of God. Because I know this. It's not a new book that's going to get me. It's not following this thing. It's the Word of, just the raw Scripture. It's what we need. And there's so much stuff taking us in all so many directions. And what we need is to get on our face and to drink in the Scriptures and let them have the effect that God would have them have in our lives. The Word of God takes and makes the wise, he makes the simple wise. And I love that. Making wise the simple. How many of us in this room hearing this message this morning are just like, I want that. It's yours. It's yours. I mean, you heard what the psalmist said. I just meditated in a day and night. It was my passion. And I understood more than all my teachers. Those that were teaching me the Word of God, I understood more than them because the Word of God was something that I took serious. Hide the Word of God. That same psalm says that. Hide the Word of God in your heart that you will not sin against the Lord. Well, the third one is verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The title, of course, here is statutes. What does the statutes mean? The statutes are the principles. We would call them doctrines. The doctrines of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. These are the practical principles of living. So God is giving to us. And you know what we're looking at here when we look at law, testimony, statutes, it's like we're looking at the Word of God, but we're looking at different facets of it. It's like a diamond, right? The diamond is one rock, but it is cut in different ways, so it has a different uniqueness on each side, but it's one. That's what we're doing. We're kind of looking at the Word of God and go, okay, you know, the law of the Lord, okay, the owner's manual, if you would, you know, the manufacturer's manual, bringing it to us, okay, you know, the testimony of the Lord, the witness of God himself, saying this is who I am. This is what you need to know. This is what's going to make you wise, okay, the statutes of the Lord. Here is the doctrine. Here's the teaching. Here is that which you need to follow and understand and learn. And this is what he's saying, the statutes of the Lord. And then we see the characteristic. He says, the statutes of the Lord are right. I titled this one, the characteristic, the word of God is correct. That's what the word right means, correct. It comes from a word of upright or straight or level or correct. And it actually speaks about a path. Here's the correct path. Now, when I say that, I want us to understand, just like the word perfect, it's like sometimes we stop at a definition, but there's more to it. It's not like, okay, there's two paths in front of me, and the reality is there's several paths, right, for us. And this is the right path. No, when he says the correct path, this is actually the path that is built on the Word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right. The statutes here of the Lord statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. This rightness is actually the word that would be used for something that's crooked and it's made right. This is the idea of the path itself. There is a path that God has laid out. It's his path. It's a path built upon the scriptures. And as you follow the scriptures, you'll find yourself on that right path. Ultimately, it's the path Jesus spoke of in John chapter 14, verse 6, where he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I'm the way. He didn't say, I know the way down the right path. He says, I am the path. And so what I'm saying to you this morning is God's statutes are that path. And as I follow the Lord and as I meditate in his statutes, I'm going to find that way. Now notice what it says that the benefit of it is, rejoicing the heart. I love that. The path that we are going down, the path that we are moving to is the rejoicing of the heart. How many of us want joy? The benefit then here is joy. Joy. And I want to tell you that the Word of God has the ability to light your soul with joy. Light your soul with joy. There is nothing more joyful than the Word of God, especially when it's not just, oh, it's a Bible verse. Oh, it's a Bible reading. It is my life. It is my meditation day and night. It is my contemplation all the day. And it's just such a joy. We miss the joy of the Word because we aren't seeking the Lord and seeking to really meditate in His Word. How many of us feel like in our hearts, there's no greater joy I have than to just drink in the Word of God? And if you go, you know, that, and you're going to be honest, just completely honest, that it's kind of dead to me. It's kind of dead to me. First of all, I'd like to say that it's of great necessity that we are obedient to the Word of God. Like, you have to go to the Word of God believing that it has authority. That it's perfect. This is all I need. This is sufficient. It's nothing else. This is what's going to guide me. This is what's going to lead me. I believe it's the correct way. I believe that it's fully 100% reliable. See, that all is going to lead you to a thing called faith. That's all leading you saying, this word is sure, steadfast, it's immovable. This is God speaking. This is the word of the Lord. This isn't the law of the church. This is the law of the Lord. This is the statutes of the Lord. This is the testimony of the Lord. This is what He, my Creator, this is what He has said. And as I come to His Word, I say, Lord, I am going to live my life based on Your Word. Nothing else. If your word doesn't say it, I'm not doing it. I'm not moving. I'm going to stay on the road of your word. You see, this will end in joy. I can guarantee it. And just a desire. Listen to how he says in verse 10. He says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, listen to what he says. This is what your statutes do. This is what takes place. He says, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. There's a benefit in taking heed to the word. Who can, I just keep reading, verse 12, who can understand his error? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. I mean, listen to this. He's saying, who can I don't know myself. Who can understand his error? I don't fully comprehend. But Lord, keep me back from willful sin. And what about the hidden sin? The sin, and the context here is the sin that I committed, but I didn't know I committed it. What about that? Oh God. And you see how he's coming to the Lord. I'm longing to be right. Listen to what he says. He says, let them not have dominion over me. Verse 13, middle of verse 13. Let them not have dominion over me. Listen to this. That I should be blameless and innocent of great transgression. I mean, you want to talk about saving yourself? Innocent of great transgression. I don't know about you, but I'm afraid of myself. I don't trust myself, my flesh, my person. I'm terrified. Like, oh God, save me from me. How's that going to happen? The Word of God. The Word of God. And you know what's going to bring me to a place? Of joy. Rejoicing the heart. Righteousness will always rejoice the heart. Right living on the right path, trusting in the Lord, looking to His Word will always rejoice the heart. Jeremiah says it this way, Jeremiah 15, 16. Your Word was found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of the heart. For I am called by your name, O God of hosts. I love that. Your word was found. Now I want you to just kind of put yourself, you know, in the shoes of you know, the person saying this, Jeremiah. Man, your word, Lord, I he was a prophet. The God would reveal his word to him. Your word was found and I ate it. I didn't hear it. I devoured it. I ate it like Sam devoured that double-double with those grilled onions. He really liked it. He said afterwards, man, I'm full now. You know, his heart was rejoicing. I ate it, and it was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart because I'm your child. I'm called by your name, O God of hosts. You see the relationship and the longing and what God is doing. There's joy. John says this in the New Testament in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, about the whole book of 1 John. He says, and these things we've written to you that your joy may be full. I've written this, that your joy may be full. I mean, this is why I wrote it. And listen to me, church. I have studied, I have labored, I have worked through these passages because my heart is overwhelmed for us to experience that joy that I know, that I get, that I understand. Remember the disciples there on the Emmaus Road after the resurrection and Jesus appears to the two walking, and this is what they recounted after, remember what it says, and he opened up, starting in Moses, the scriptures, and explained to them all things concerning himself. And then in Luke 24, verse 32, they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us, in us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Did not our hearts just burn within us? Burn. And there's a burning. There's a burning that I experience, and it's this joyful burning of He's right. And as we and listen, this is what will produce worship in us. This is what will produce worship. And worship should be, it's a response to who God is, but you don't know who God is without His Word. And allowing the Holy Spirit to do His work. And so, let us think on these three statements about the Word of God this week. And next week, we will look at the next three statements. I tell you, there's so much here for us to allow the Lord to do His work. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I don't know where you might be today in your relationship with God. I don't know where you find yourself, but I want to let you know and remind you that today, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. The Bible's power, I mean, the Word of God is powerful. Right now, the Word of God's going to cut you. And God is trying to use His Word to show you who He is. He loves you and He died for you and to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you. Listen, if you die today and you don't have Christ, you will spend an eternity separated from God. That's a reality. And today, if you call in the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Are you secure right now? If you die today, are you good? You're ready. I mean, you're ready to see the Lord. You're ready to go home. And you should be able to go, absolutely. Because if you can't say that, then you're not. And it's as simple as calling out to the Lord and saying, God, will you help me? And then, of course, how do we walk with God? How do we have a relationship with God? Is then we give ourselves to His Word. We begin to study His Word. And that's, of course, what we do here. And we study the Word of God. And we allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in us. And so I just ask you to open your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in us. Let's pray. Father, we do just thank You so much, God, for Your great and amazing grace. And God, we just ask that You would do Your work. God, that You would pour out Your Spirit. Father, we just pray that, God, we would be a people, God, who would hear. A people, Father, that would respond to You. And maybe it's just in an attitude of prayer and you're here this morning and you are not confident that if you die today you're going to heaven. I want to give you an opportunity just to respond, to raise your hand if that's you. And so if that's you and you want to respond, I want to encourage you just to lift up your hand. Say, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. And He's here today. He's here to save. He's here. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if that's you, I want to encourage you to do that. All right. Father, we just pray that, Lord, as spend some time contemplating and thinking, Father. We just ask that You would pour out Your Spirit, God, upon us, that we might, Lord, just have an ear to hear what Your Spirit would say. Father, as we open communion now, and God, we just pray that You would be glorified and You'd be magnified. And Lord, we just worship You and we just thank You. We commit, Lord, our hearts to You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.